The New Testament reading is taken from Philippians chapter 2, verse 19 to verse 30. This can be found on page 981 in the Bibles in the pews. Philippians chapter 2, verse 19. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father he has served with me in the gospel. I hope therefore to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me. And I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. I have thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need. For he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I am the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy, and honour such men, for he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. Here ends the New Testament reading.
Great prayer with which to turn back to God's word. So please do take a seat, and could you take up a Bible and look back up to that reading we had earlier on from Philippians chapter 2. That would be really helpful for you, I'm sure, to have that in front of you. And as you find that, in order to get us warmed up, let me ask you a question. Here's my question for you this morning. If you're an animal, what kind of animal would you be? Now, some of you, well, many of you know that before I was ordained and launched out to our site across town at St. Joseph's, I was a youth and student worker. So if I had a pound for every time I have asked or been asked that question in a kind of group setting, I would be a very rich man indeed. And who knows, I may not be in this pulpit standing in front of you this morning. But this week, I'm going to turn that question on you. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to turn to someone near you, maybe even be a little bit daring and try and turn to somebody who you've not yet met. I want you to introduce yourself, and then I want you to ask, what kind of animal best describes you? Or if you think that's a little bit too personal on first meeting, then maybe what kind of animal would you like to be, and why? Now, I know this is slightly unusual. If you're new here, can I reassure you, this is not how we normally start our sermons here at Jesmond Parish Church. I know that some of you are British, so you're already starting to break out into a slightly cold sweat at the very thought of even doing this. But I'm putting on the kind of voice I use with my kids when I send them to the doctors or when I take them to the doctors or the dentist. I'm not that bad a dad. I do go with them, actually. I don't just say, oh, you go, sort yourself out. But I'm putting that voice on when I take them there and I'm saying to you, it's okay. It's not going to hurt that much. And afterwards, if you're good, I'll give you a treat. Okay, off you go. 1 minute. Turn.
Thank you.
Okay. Let me call you back to order. All right. Settle down, folks. Settle down. Sorry. I didn't know that was going to be quite so engaging. Although I'm sure I saw a few kind of meerkats popping up and kind of turning around in the pews there, which was exciting to see. I mean, I'm not sure what else you discovered apart from the meerkats, but it's great to meet and greet one another, isn't it? As we gather together as church on a Sunday morning. So let me encourage you to keep doing that at the end of the service. But here's what I want to highlight for you this morning, and it's the Bible's answer to that question: what kind of animal best describes you? Well, the Bible's answer to that question is a sheep. Why a sheep? Well, despite the fact that we like to think of ourselves as independent thinkers, original trendsetters, our own person, the fact of the matter is, we're just not. Now, I don't want to insult you or anything, but the fact of the matter is that we love to follow and fit in with other people's examples. We are followers, we are sheep. We copy other people and other stuff. And isn't that the reason that if you're a parent here, you worry about the kind of things that your kids watch on telly? Not only do you worry about what the hero of their favourite TV programme is going to be getting up to, that they may then want to act out and follow out later on in the day, but in between the programmes, in fact, every 10 minutes during the programmes, what have you got? You've got the adverts. And they are deadly, because on the adverts, on prance these wonderful looking kids playing with the cutest little plastic ponies that you've ever seen, or they're having the time of their life with the most enormous water pistol you have ever seen. I mean, water pistol is a misnomer for water pistols these days. It's more like water cannon. I think I've seen some riot police with less intimidating water cannon than a children's super soaker. But as the kids watch that, it's, you know, as a parent, it is only a matter of time before you feel a little tug on your leg, on your trouser leg, from one of the small people who live in your house. And you'll hear that little voice pipe up. If you love me, you will buy me one of those. And if you buy me one of those, then I will have life. And we know all too well that this isn't just an issue for the young. We buy all kinds of stuff that we think promises life. We do all kinds of things that other people are doing that we think promises life. It's not a question of will I copy, it's rather a question of who will I copy? What person's example, motives, message, and values are going to be shaping your life this week? Well, it's an answer to those kind of questions that the Apostle Paul gives us two great examples to follow in the next bit of this Bible book of the Philippians. If you've not been here for the last few weeks, then we've been looking at this book of the Bible in which the Apostle Paul, who was an early sort of church planter going from city to city, telling people about Jesus so they'd turn to Jesus and then starting a church, where he's writing to one of the churches that he started in a place called Philippi. And over the last few weeks, we've seen the Apostle Paul encouraging the Philippian believers to do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. He's done that firstly by reminding them of the Lord Jesus himself and his example. And he's now doing it secondly, by showing us what it looks like for a couple of ordinary blokes to do just that, to live like Christ. And as he does that, Paul is reminding us that Christianity is caught as much as taught, and that we should follow the examples of worthy Christian leaders like Timothy and Epaphroditus. So, let's get started with Timothy first. And this is my first point this morning. Follow the example of those who are interested in the well-being of others, not their own. So check out, will you, with me, verse 19, where Paul writes, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. Now, isn't that a remarkable thing to be able to write about someone? I have no one like him. Who could you say that of this morning? I can almost imagine Apostle Paul in his prison cell going through his contact lists on his phone. As I say, I'm imagining that. I'm sure he didn't have a phone. But he's going through his contact lists on his phone. He's going, all right, who can I send to encourage the Philippians? I could send Andrew, but his mind is so often just on his own personal pleasure. He spends most of his life planning his next holiday or what he's going to be up to at the weekend. So scroll down. Oh, I could send Bridget. But she's always thinking about her social plans. Even when she pitches up to do her so-called selfless service at church, it's only ever really fitted around the other things on her agenda. So scroll down. Maybe Kevin's the guy, but his mind, it's on pleasing his boss and his own reputation. He's so determined to be a success and achieve something that he just spends every minute there is doing that. So, Timothy. Now, Timothy, well, there's the guy to send, surely. His mind is preoccupied with the interests of Jesus. Everyone who knows him recognizes that he is genuinely concerned in the eternal welfare of others. I've got no one like Timothy. Do you see? When it comes to looking out for others and meeting their needs, Paul has never met anyone like Timothy. Timothy was genuinely interested in the Philippian believers. And it wasn't just a passing interest. And that is so rare. Not just in our day, but in Timothy's, in Paul's too. But you know the difference, don't you? Between someone who asks you how you are in the interests of mere social convention or making small talk, and someone who really wants to know. And more than that, wants to help, if they can. They keep asking questions, they seek to understand, they empathize, they try to find solutions. They're not scared of getting their hands dirty, coming alongside you and trying to help you out. They're not just looking at their watch or over your shoulder to see if there's somebody more interesting out there to talk to. As talking to them makes you feel like the most interesting person in all the world. Well, I guess that's what it would have been like talking to Timothy. And don't you think it would have been like that to talk to the Lord Jesus himself too? Read through the Gospels. What is Jesus most interested in? The Temple Restoration Fund. The Mission Jerusalem Project. The Teachers of the Law School of Theology. No! What is striking when you read through the Gospels is that wherever Jesus went, he took a genuine interest in people more than projects. It didn't matter whether they were rich or poor, whether they were sick or healthy, whether they were socially confident or social outcasts. Each person he encountered received his unconditional acceptance and his undivided attention. And Timothy lives like his master. He models that for us. Look at verse 21 again. For they all seek their own interests. That's what everybody else does. Not those of Jesus Christ, like Timothy does. Why was Timothy's interest in the Philippians' welfare so genuine? Because they put the interests of Jesus first. And therefore that meant putting others first. And Paul goes on to nail down what that means in verse 22. But you know Timothy's proven worth. How as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel. That is how we show that we are other person focused. Because Jesus' primary interest is in the work of the gospel. So that involves bringing his good news to people. News that he has not come to reject sinners like us, but to rescue sinners like us and see us established in a relationship with him, established as his followers. That's why if you don't know what makes the gospel of Jesus such good news, then we want to encourage you to check it out. And that's why I also want to encourage those of us who do know to prioritize the opportunities to help people to do just that. So, if it's a choice between reading the Bible one-to-one with a lady you've met at Mothers and Toddlers, or heading off and doing the garden, then prioritize the interests of Jesus. It was a choice between inviting some folks around who are on the edges of things here at church for Sunday lunch, or going off on your own with some mates for a pub lunch, then prioritise the interests of Jesus. It was a choice between taking time to read the Bible and pray with your kids and answer their inevitable and sometimes seemingly interminable questions that they have, or rushing downstairs to catch the start of the footy. Then surely, it's no contest. The Euros are not a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And I'm not just saying that because Scotland are not there. No, the golden gospel opportunity is that one where you get to shepherd a young life, a young soul, day by day as they start their life. You see, as I've looked at these words, I've had to ask myself, am I serving the gospel? Am I serving Jesus? Or am I just merely trying to serve myself? And I've been praying, Lord, change me so that I do ministry for your glory and the benefit of others, not just to meet my own needs. Because it's so easy even to be doing church work, not in order to serve Christ and others, but to be serving ourselves, our own ego, our own insecurities, our pride, our needs, whatever it is. And as Paul looked around at everyone else, he saw that's what they were doing. Everyone, that is, except for Timothy. So let's follow his example. But let's secondly also follow the example of those who have proved themselves in hardship. As enter, stage left, comes Epaphroditus. Who? I hear you cry. Well, we might not be able to spell his name or even maybe pronounce it, but we know that Epaphroditus had been sent by the Philippians to help Paul with his ministry. Like Timothy, he put others first, and at quite some cost to himself. For the dominant issue in these verses is that Epaphroditus got ill while he was with Paul. And it wasn't just man flu. When he got a touch of the sniffles and he went to bed acting like he was about to die. No, Epaphroditus nearly did die. Look at verse 27 with me. Indeed, he was ill, near to death. And then verse 32, for he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. Here again is a little cameo of someone following Jesus' example, working out their salvation, working out what it means to be a follower of Christ by putting others first. Jesus, our supreme example, gave his very life for others. Epaphroditus risked his life for others. He actually neglected his health. That's the idea in the Greek here. He took risks with his own health for the sake of others. He was so keen to help Paul that rather than rest up and take it kind of a bit easier, pull back, he pressed on and, frankly, he overdid it. And here's the thing. Here's the kicker. Paul doesn't rebuke him for that. Quite the opposite, in fact. Look what Paul says in verse 29. So receive him in the Lord with all joy and honour such men. I'm not sure that's what we'd do with Epaphroditus, would we? I've got a hunch we wouldn't honour him, but we'd pack him off to the GPs in order to get a talking to about getting a better work-life balance. You better slow up, Epaphroditus. Are you going to kill yourself? That's what we'd say to Epaphroditus. And I've got to be honest, when you're involved in ministry, whether it's voluntarily or in a full-time paid capacity, it's tempting to think, what am I doing? Why am I always busy? Why am I out so many evenings? Why do I only get really one day off a week? Everyone else seems to get two. It's too much. I need to slow down and take it easy for a while. But then I look at Epaphroditus and I think, so what if I get to live till I'm 100 and tick off all those things I want to do on my bucket list? If I was too self-protecting to make the most of the opportunities that God gave me to hold out his word of truth to as many people as possible. Now, please don't mishear me here. I am not saying that it is wise to work yourself into an early grave. I read this great book over Easter called Zeal Without Burnout. It's written by a guy called Christopher Ashe. And I'd recommend it to anyone who is struggling with being overcommitted in life, let alone to service in the church. But in it, he encourages us to see sacrifice, to not see sacrifice as the same thing as burnout. And he does that by turning our attention to Romans 12, verse 1, where Paul calls on us to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Ash says this of that phrase. He says, a living sacrifice is a strange expression. It means a sacrifice that goes on and on being offered as long as it lasts. So we are not to work until we drop, but following Jesus will involve being a sustainable sacrifice. It will involve the sort of self-giving living that God enables us to go on doing day after day after day. So get enough sleep. Make sure you have one day off a week. Spend time with friends who refresh you. Prioritize your own spiritual life. After all, you can't give out of an empty tank. But above all else, know that following Christ will mean living like him. So it will involve sacrifice. It will be inconvenient, often inconvenient and costly. It will mean taking risks, even with our health. But it will be so, so worth it. I have to say personally, these last few months for many of us who you've sent across to St. Joseph's to start the church over there have been some of the most difficult months of our lives, but some of the most encouraging. And I'll come back to that in a minute. 2,000 years, though, for Jesmond Parish Church. What do we want people to say about our church? Wouldn't it be tragic if folks said the people at Jesmond Parish Church took no risk for the sake of the gospel and they lived such a well-balanced life? Well, that clearly isn't really the case, and I hope it never will be the case. But rather that we would honour people like Epaphroditus and follow their example in taking risks for the gospel. He was ready to risk his life for others. And I'm sure he would have not only been willing to risk his health, but also his reputation, his financial buffer zone, his time. I mean, we like to hold on to our time just as much as our money, don't we? But my guess is the Epaphroditus wouldn't have done that, because he knew that to err on the side of risk is the right thing to do if we follow Christ and we want to serve others. So two men who are worthy examples to follow, I commend them to you this morning. As we look at their lives, we see in action what it means to, in humility, count others as more significant than ourselves. Timothy, serving others for Christ. Epaphroditus, suffering for Christ. But hold on. Just before you think I'm going to let you off early for good behavior, there's actually a third example that I've spotted here. I nearly missed it on my first read through, but I've snuck it in here at the end, and it's the example of Paul himself. So thirdly, follow the example of those who send others for the sake of gospel growth. As the thing I want to highlight just briefly as we close is that Paul gave away gospel partners for the sake of others to build the church. Have a quick look back at verse 19, will you? I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon. And do you remember what Paul said about Timothy? I have no one like him. So here's Paul. He's in prison. He could do with as much help and encouragement as he can get. And what does he do? He sends his best. He sends Timothy off to the Philippians to help them. And it's the same with Epaphroditus in verse 25, isn't it? I have thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier. See the tenderness, see the affection that Paul has for Epaphroditus there. He's been such an encouragement to him. And yet, he sends him back to the Philippians so that they will have, verse 28, the joy of seeing him again. And as I've read this, it's really struck me that this must be the kind of church that we continue to aspire to be. Sending out some of our most faithful people to other churches so that they may be built up in Christ. And I'm so thankful that that is what we have done with St. Joseph's across town. I look around our church over there and I see just some brilliant folks that you sent to kind of join with me in that ministry. And I am so, so thankful for that. I know from the grapevine that many of those folks, they've been really missed, sorely missed over here. But it's been so worth it, as it's thanks to your gospel generosity, we've seen over 224 new people come through the doors of the churches in the first few months. And that figure is well over 250, I'm sure, when we add in children to it. Over 70 have come back at least a couple of times. And we've now got 43 new people regularly attending, and that would be more if we added in the kids, I'm sure, too. It's a small start, but it's a good one. It's a really encouraging one. As you've like the Apostle Paul prioritized sending faithful brothers and sisters for the sake of gospel growth. And who knows, in the years to come, maybe God could use St. Joseph's in that same way to start a church somewhere else that really needs the good news of the gospel. That may sound like I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself there. We've only just started, after all. But we pray to a great big God. So let's pray great big prayers like that. And as you pray that, please do pray too that God would raise up more men and women like Timothy and Epaphroditus from here to go and take the gospel, not just to the other side of Newcastle, but to the ends of the earth. One of the ways that currently happens here is through the incredible job our JPC Internationals team do, preparing students from overseas to head back home to live and work for Christ's glory and others' good there. We also have a great heritage here of sending mission partners out into the mission field. And it's essential that we don't grow complacent in praying and working towards that too. And as you pray for that, try to listen to the Holy Spirit's leading yourself, please. Is God calling you? Are you willing to go like Epaphroditus? Are you willing to be sent like Timothy? Can you say to the Lord, I will do anything you say. I will go anywhere you want. Are you willing to say that to God? Or whether God is calling us to go somewhere new or to stay where we are and carry on the good work that God has already started in us and through us. Let's each one of us follow Timothy and Epaphroditus's example of Christ-like service to others. That's the challenge this morning. And the first step on that road is obviously to ask God for his help. So let's turn to God in prayer. Father God, there are so many examples out there who we could follow, who we are tempted to follow, who sometimes we just end up blindly following. But we know that they all seek their own interests and that they encourage us to do likewise. And so we confess that there have been too many times that we've been too wrapped up in our own little concerns, always thinking about ourselves, and we ask that you would forgive us and that you would give us a desire to know Christ and to love Christ and to serve like Christ. Work amongst us, Father, that we may be a church marked by our service and our love for others. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.